say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Proverbs chapter number 4. Chapter 4, verse 7, right? Wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get wisdom. Right? You need to not only get wisdom, you need to, with all your getting, you need to get understanding. Wisdom, let's just talk about wisdom for a second briefly. Wisdom is the ability to choose between what Webster called laudable ends. See, in life, a lot of times, it's not that you're choosing between good and evil. A lot of times it is. Sometimes you're choosing, and wisdom gives us the ability not only to choose between what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, but wisdom gives us the ability to choose between what's good, better, and best. And so if you looked up the definition of wisdom in the scriptures, it says the ability to be able to choose between laudable, which means commendable, praiseworthy ends. Okay? And so you understand that the ability to go, all right, what is the most praiseworthy? What's the best? Understanding is the ability to perceive the real state of how things are. Because in life, there's a lot of things that aren't exactly as they appear. That's why in the book of Proverbs chapter 31, when Mama is giving advice to her son about picking a woman, picking him a wife, she says, a favor, that's a beautiful appearance of a face, is deceitful, is deceptive, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. In other words, what Mama told Lemuel, her son, is when you're picking yourself a wife, don't get so caught up in the beauty of the woman's face that you lose track of what she's like behind the scenes. Now, this young man is asking me, and he's counting on me to give him some kind of wisdom that he can apply in this relationship. And my advice is, since you've never even gone out and spent any time with this girl, is this. You don't mortgage the farm with a hog that won't stay in the pen. Now, let me explain. There was a farmer, he heard about this grand champion hog, see? This champion hog had won every competition it had been in because it was an awesome hog. But the farmer also knew a little bit about the hog, and the reputation was you could not keep that hog in the pen, that it would always get out. No matter what you did, it would bust out. He decides he still wants this hog, even though he knows that that's a possibility, and so he didn't have enough money to purchase the hog because this thing's a grand champion hog. So he went out and he took a mortgage on the farm so he could buy this grand champion hog. He brought it home. He'd look at it. He'd stare at it. He'd go out by the pen. He'd look at that beautiful hog. I got the most beautiful hog. I got the most awesome hog that there is in the whole wide world. But he'd wake up the next day and the hog's out of its pen. It's over in the neighbor's flower bed. And the neighbor calls over. He's complaining. You need to come get your hog out of my... I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He'd put the hog up and he'd just stand there and look at it. He said, that's the most beautiful hog I've ever seen in my life. He'd wake up the next morning. The hog was out of its pen again. And the hog is over. This time, it's over in the neighbor's garden. The neighbor calls up, you need to come over and get your hog out of my pen. He goes, for 2 years, this hog kept getting out. He had mortgaged the farm on this thing for 2 years. He mortgaged his farm to get this hog that he ended up selling. He mortgaged his farm for a hog that he had to end up selling for a little nothing because he didn't really know the right state of how things were. Now, what you wonder is that really a true story? And to that, I would say, it happens all the time. And a parable is an earthly story that reveals a heavenly truth. We might know, if we're sports fans, about a franchise in football that mortgaged the farm for a quarterback. that they had for 2 years, and they couldn't keep the hog in the pen, only to cut him because the hog was more problems than what it was worth. But you set back your franchise at least 2 years when you do that. See, so my advice to this young guy is, you need to just cool your jets here just a little bit, and you need to figure out what you're getting. See, because here's what tipped me off that I would say that. When he said, now he'd never even spent time with this girl, I want to marry her more than anything else I want to do in life right now. Now listen, when you do that, when you have that mentality, you are at a potential for making a huge, huge mistake. And understanding is to understand the right state of things. 1 Samuel chapter number 8, all right? Would you grab your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 8. There was a country, its name was Israel. Israel had a judge. In fact, the system of administration that they had had for years and years and years was a system of administration. It was a theocracy. It was run by a system of judges. As a matter of fact, the nation of Israel for years was run by judges. Hence, you look at a book, there's a book in the Bible called the Book of Judges. And the book of Judges is about how Israel would have problems, and when they would live for God, God would bless them. And then once things got really good for them, they would turn their backs on the Lord. And then God would bring judgment on them because they would turn their back on Him. And then when they would get really low, they would call out to God, and then He would send a judge to save them. A judge like Gideon, who would give up his life for them, who would sacrifice for them. And then as long as Gideon lived, the people served the Lord. And then when Gideon passed away, then they kind of turned their backs on God. And so the story of the book of Judges is, and God's administration is this, is that I will send people that will give up their lives, sacrifice their lives for you. They're not going to ask for hardly anything from you. They are going to listen to me, and they're going to serve me. And in serving me, they're going to serve you. They come to the time where Samuel is a judge. Samuel makes an error. 1 Samuel chapter number 8. Samuel made the error when he became an old man, and he should have known by the time he's old what his two sons were like. People look at me like I've got a tomato growing out my ear when I say, I didn't want sons, I wanted daughters. Because I didn't want a son or sons that expected to be able to take over this ministry one day, because it's going to bring about some family problems if we had a son who was not a good man. And when I became an old man and I would rather please the Lord than my sons, and I said, son, you are not the one to take this ministry. Now, I'm telling you, that would create some family problems. But right is right and wrong is wrong. And Samuel was an old man, and I think he's smart enough to know what those two boys he had were like. But instead of saying, you guys are so corrupt, you're so underhanded, I'm not making you judges. Instead of doing that, when Samuel became an old man, now think about this. Maybe you say he's just getting soft in his old age, but there was a reason why he was an old man before he ended up putting his sons in. Now think. And I don't know why he made this decision exactly, but he puts his sons in. Verse 2, one's name is Joel, the other one's name is Abiah. Verse number 3, and his sons walked not in his ways. In other words, Samuel was a man of God. He did his best to judge the people of Israel, to do right, to make good decisions. He had a circuit that he would work, and he would go out from city to city, and he would watch over and judge the people. Samuel was a great man, but his boys weren't. Samuel was a man of God, but his boys weren't. And when he put these two boys in as judges in this one particular area, verse 3, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre or money, and they took bribes. In other words, you could pay these guys off to pervert judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We want to be like everybody else is. Now, as a believer, when you make a decision, whether you're young or middle-aged or old, and you want to operate like the rest of the world does instead of the way God chooses for you to operate, you're going to be in serious trouble. Especially when you make up your mind that you want to do, you want that thing so badly that you are willing to give up almost anything to be able to get it. This is why I use the hog story with this guy, because I want him to understand that everything that glitters is not gold, right? You get you a great wife, you got a great life. You get a great husband, you're going to have a great life. You get you a bad wife, you're going to have a rough row to hoe. You get you a bad husband, you're going to have a rough row to hoe. And you go out and you try to serve God, and then you got to come home and fuss and fight, and you got to fight your husband or your wife at home, and you got to fight the devil out in public. I don't have time to go home and fight my wife. I need me a good wife. This boy, when he was 9 years old, he determined, and I'm going to use bad English, I ain't never going to be no preacher. And all the way up through his teen years, and God began to put a call on his life, and he fought it. And just about 6 to 9 months ago, he finally surrendered to God's call in his life. But now he wants to serve God. And when you fully surrender to God, now you're in a good spot. Now this guy wants to know, should I marry her? Is she the right one? Is this the right? But see, he's got to be cautious. And so if you set your mind on anything, I'm not talking about God, but things of the world, when you go, I have to have that so bad I'm willing to sacrifice almost anything to get it, you're in trouble. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 8, they said, we want a king. Samuel said, this is a bad idea. This idea was so bad that on 3 occasions, God had to tell his servant, Samuel, I want you to listen to them and tell them they're going to get what they want. Because this idea is so bad, Samuel just can't hardly believe that despite all the warnings that God's going to give them, that they still want a king. 3 times God had to tell Samuel, hearken unto them. Are you kidding me, God? They want this, you tell them. When you set your heart on something and you have to have it, that is not the will of God for your life. The devil, listen, is a taker. He takes, he takes, he takes. All that the devil wants out of your life is to take something. He wants to take your joy. He wants to take your peace. He's a thief. He's a liar. He is a robber. He is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And so whenever the devil is operating in your life and in my life, he comes to steal, to kill, or to destroy. Now you got to know that. And whenever the devil has a plan for your life, you can guarantee, mark it down, it's going to try to accomplish one of those 3 things for you, to either steal, to kill, or to destroy. And these people so much that we want a king like all those other people have a king. And God said, you tell them, verse number 11. You tell them, Samuel, this will be the manner of king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons, not your dog, not your cat. He'll take your sons. He's not going to ask. He's going to take, because he's a taker. Saul was a taker. What ultimately got him in trouble with God and why he lost the administration as king was that he took stuff that God told him not to take. Because Samuel, in his very nature, was a taker. Now listen to me. A leopard cannot change its spots. Takers are takers. And the only thing that changes a taker is if they turn completely into a new creature through what Jesus Christ does in their heart and life. And he can change a taker into a giver. And Saul was a taker. That's what he was. He's going to take your sons, verse number 11, and he is going to appoint them for you, to help you, or to help who? Because he's a taker. Takers think about themselves, That's how they're geared. That's how they're wired. He's going to take from you. He's going to use it for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen, and some of your sons shall run before his chariots. He will appoint, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to plant his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Are we getting the picture yet? Because he's a taker. You want to know if I think you ought to marry that girl? I don't know, because I don't know her. Is she a giver or is she a taker? When the servant of Abraham went out and he's going to find a wife for Isaac. He goes over to this area. He takes his camels. He comes up by this pool and he can't mess this thing up. Put your hand under my thigh and swear that you're going to come back with the right wife for my boy. And he comes over and he's got his camels. And he comes to this place where the people would come to draw water in this city. And he prays to God, I need you to give me some speed on this thing, and I need to not mess up. I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but I need you to get me the right woman. And what he's looking for is a woman that is not a taker, but a woman that is a giver, a self-motivated giver. Now, let me explain this difference. And so it's a rare creature, man or woman, that would actually sacrifice for your benefit. Most people, he comes down here to this little well, and he's going to say, you know, hey, lady, would you please give me some water? Like, I don't know you. Why would I give you any water? This is going to be kind of what you think would be a common response. I don't know you. You could be a threat to me. You might hurt me. I'm not going to give you any. Why should I? Why should I help you? And secondary, why in the world would I go get some water for your smelly camels? Do you know how much your camels smell? And so what he's asking for is something that's unusual. When he says to the woman, not only would she give him water, but would she give water to his camels? To have the initiative or the heart in her to say, not only will I take care of you, but I've noticed that your camels probably need some water, and that she, out of her own initiative, not because she was asked to, but out of her own initiative, that she would say, let me get some water for your camels also. And those big old brutes, you know, she had to make a couple of trips back and forth to get water for those big old brutes to make sure. So this is going to be inconvenience. This is going to be sacrifice. This is going to show nature. Because God's people are characterized not by lie, cheat, steal, hate, take. God's people are characterized by love, sacrifice, giving. And so he knows that he is on the right track here when this beautiful young lady comes down through there and he says, he's never met her before, and he says, ma'am, would you give me some water? And she says, sure, here's some water, and let me get some water for your camels too. Plus, he had prayed this, and he had specific qualifications he was looking for. I don't think that that's a bad thing, do you? Listen, this guy's called into the ministry. His wife is going to be a make-or-break deal. I've learned this over these years. I believe this firmly. I'm not putting down moms and dads. I've got kids. By God's grace, we're getting ready to have grandkids. I don't want to diminish mom and dad. But I'm talking about, you know, greatest behind getting saved, greatest blessings that you can possibly have in life. If you got great parents, but right up there is you get a great spouse. You get a bad spouse, you're going to be dragging them around like dead wood in your life, and you're going to have heartache and trouble and pain. But when you get a good spouse, they are a great blessing. This is what Lemuel's mom told to him. She will do you good and not evil all the days of your life. Her children will arise up and call her blessed, not cursed. Her children will arise up and call her blessed. But if you're going to pick a good one, you got to make sure that you don't pick somebody solely based upon external appearance. Now, Israel, back to Israel, they want a king so badly. See, they're in danger. See how that's in danger? Danger! Danger! He's going to take from you, and he's going to use for himself verse number 13. He will not only take your sons, verse number 11, he's going to take your daughters to be confectionaries, to be cooks, to be bakers. He will take your stuff. He'll take your fields, and he's going to take your vineyards, and he's going to take your olive yards, even the best of them. And he will give them to his servants. Every word here is important, isn't it? He will take your men servants. You'll be like, wait, those are my kids. He's going to take them. Those are my fields. He's going to take them. Those are my servants. He's going to take your servants. He's going to take your men servants, and he's going to take your maid servants and your goodliest young men. You're like, that was my best prospect. He just took them. He's going to take your goodliest young men. He's going to take your asses or your donkeys, and he's going to put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. Now, this is a picture of bad government. Bad government, no matter what country, no matter what day or time or age or year, bad government is when we're there for them instead of them being there for us. When God established government, it was for the good of the people. And when bad government comes in, no matter what label or title or name it comes under, they are taking from us to benefit themselves. Got it? It's not that they even take from us to benefit other people. It's that they take from us to benefit them because they are selfish, self-centered takers. That's bad government. And you would think, this is why three times God had to say to Samuel, hearken to them. Because you would think when you sit down with someone or a group of people and go, look, he's going to take your sons, your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants. He's going to take all of them. He's going to take them and use them for his service. And he's going to take a tenth of your money. He's going to take the best of your vineyards. He's going to take the best you got, your best servants. He's going to take them. The people would wisely go, oh, that's ridiculous. See, an understanding says to understand the right state of things is how they really are. You're like, wait a minute, this guy's not here for us. We're here for him. And that you would think if they had any understanding and wisdom at all, they would say, no. But they don't, because they made their mind up. And when you make your mind up before you know the details, they said, give us a king. And God went, okay. Just in case you think that God prohibits free will, because this was not God's plan. Now, God can work in this thing. It's amazing to me how the God of the universe can remain sovereign and be able to be in charge while giving 7 billion people complete free will. That is an amazing thing. I cannot even comprehend the greatness of God to be able to still get his work accomplished dealing with 7 billion people like us. But God went, okay. You want a king? You'll have a king. You know what he did when he got into the administration? Listen to me. He took, and he took, and took, and took, and took, and took, and took. You know what Rebecca did? That lovely lady there by the water fountain, if you would say, there that day. You know what she did when she married her husband? She gave, and she gave, and she gave, and she gave. Because that's the nature. God's people are givers. God's representatives are givers. When God put on a human body and he came into this world, he was a giver because he loved. He wasn't here about himself. He was here for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because God is a giver. God's true representatives are givers. They are people that will love. They are people that will sacrifice. They're not thieves, robbers, liars, murderers. Don't ever forget that. So much so that Jesus said, you shall know them by their what? Fruits. You'll know them by what they do. This is such a true teaching and such a truth that we need to embrace. You know, words are cheap, but actions are strong. There's a lot of chatter, flibber-flabber going on in the world. There's a lot of false representation. There's a lot of smoke screens. There's a lot of deliberate misrepresentation. But I'm telling you, watch what people do, because it will, over time, reveal what they are. A leopard cannot change his spots. A leopard cannot change his spots. And so if a guy who has not repented toward God was a liar, a cheat, a manipulator 10 years ago, and he hasn't converted to Jesus Christ and been changed into a new creature, he is still that. If a woman is a murderer, if she is a liar, if she is a cover-up, and she hasn't converted to be changed to a new creature by Jesus Christ, she is still that. Now, you can put lipstick on a hog, but it's still a hog. And that goes for everything. You might say, preacher, are you talking about politics? I'm talking about life. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about the people that want to be your friends. I'm talking about the preachers that are on TV and in our local assembly. You watch me. If I'm a taker, if I don't love, if I won't sacrifice, then I'm not one of God's guys. If I take from you, if I steal from you, if I destroy from you, if I'm not characterized by giving, loving, caring, sacrificing, then you need to look for another church. How do we know if Jesus Christ is the real deal? A man from God, sent from God, the only begotten Son of God. What did he do when he came? He gave, he gave, he gave, he loved, he cared. He sacrificed, and then he came right down to the time of his death, and knowing that sheep could never make it into heaven unless he gave up his life, he didn't pull up short of doing what needed to be done for us to be able to have access into heaven. He went out that day and prayed in the garden and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he even prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But it wasn't possible. You think Jesus Christ was looking forward to going there on the cross and they're going to spit on him, they're going to jam a crown of thorns on his head, they're going to pluck his beard, they're going to whip his back? You think that's something you look forward to? I shrivel up thinking about sometimes going to the dentist. You know what I'm talking about? Because I'm kind of a sissy sometimes. Jesus Christ is going to be beat, whipped, beard plucked. They're going to treat him bad. They're going to jam a crown of thorns on his head. They're going to strip him of his garments, and they're going to hang him up there to be embarrassed. And that's the beginning. And then the Father is going to lay on him the sins of the whole world. And he's going to bear the guilt and the punishment of all that. And even from that, he did not pull back when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he surrendered to the will of the Father, and he knew what he needed to do, and they treated him horribly, and yet he gave up his life. No greater love has a man than this, but that a man will lay down his life for his friends. Why did he do that? Because he's from God. In fact, he is God.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hearshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you.